to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, it's Carol, co-host of The Divine Breadcrumb. This episode is brought to you by Carol L. Campos Coaching. Why coach with me when there are so many coaches out there? I do things differently. I don't jump right into your goal. Why? Well, what I've learned is that the subconscious mind is running 90% of the show. That's where we start. We clear any emotional blocks and limiting beliefs first, making sure you know your why and are aligned with where you're headed before tackling your goal. Whether you want to change careers or simply want more joy in your life, I can teach you strategies to help you gain the clarity needed to go where your heart is calling. To get started, I invite you to sign up for a free discovery session at carollcampos.com. Together, let's light your path. Hello, everyone. This is Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
Yes, welcome back. Okay, so I'm just a tad bit excited because today we are joined by the host of Inspire Nation show, Michael Sandler. Michael interviews the best of the best thought leaders in business, spirituality, health, and light workers across the globe. But Michael is also a thought leader in his own right. Aside from his top-rated show, he's also a best-selling author of several books, including his most recent, The Automatic Writing Experience, coming out later this year. He's also been a competitive athlete, a sought-after coach, and has the most wonderful and contagious woohoo energy I've ever come across. Michael has also experienced some incredible tragedies, and I put that in quotes. He's had two horrific accidents, both resulting in near-death experiences. And although the accidents left him with two titanium hips and two titanium femurs, among other serious injuries, Michael explains that these experiences cracked his heart space wide open, literally and figuratively, changing his life in ways he couldn't have imagined. And on a personal note, Michael changed my life at a time when I was really floundering. About 2.5 years ago, I found Michael's show and was hooked. And after listening for about 8 months, Michael became my coach and life was never the same. I've coached with him. I then had the opportunity to train under him and now consider him a dear friend. And he can't get rid of me even if he wants to. So today we're going to talk to Michael about some of the divine breadcrumbs in his life, the power of automatic writing, what it means to be an open-hearted warrior, and much more. Michael, welcome to the show. We are so happy you're here.
Well, so happy to be here, both Carol and Deb, and a mighty woohoo!
So you've had some intense growth experiences in your life. So before we dive into that, if you could, maybe tell us briefly about what your childhood was like and how you felt about yourself growing up.
My childhood on so many levels, it was the exact experience I needed to groom me for exactly where I am today. And so it was perfect on so many levels. My parents were absolutely insane. Friends wouldn't come over. They would call it the crazy house. I got smacked a lot by mom till age 10, which I was too big and grabbed her hand. And that was the last time she hit me. I was diagnosed with ADHD before there was such a thing. I think first at age 5, some sort of hyperkinetic mind. Age 7, I was put on Ritalin. Never could figure out how to interact with other kids, was beaten up or bullied on a pretty much a day-to-day basis. And through it all, the intensity, the heartache, the loneliness, the confusion, I was learning how to become more resilient. I did have a first, I was gifted with 36 big accidents or hospitalizations till about a decade ago. And my first of those came around age 10 or so, where I went to the hospital after a bike wreck. I was racing the babysitter's cousin and she lost control of her bike, but only I went down after she hit me. Oh. And there in the ER, they said, "What is it this time, Michael?" And it was something that required 6 different operations. And I was told I'd have arthritis in my knee for life. I'd be lucky to walk at age 18. And I learned that the docs weren't right. The docs knew nothing about my body, that nobody really knows as much about our bodies or our minds for that matter as ourselves. And so that one incident at age 10 helped to kind of break me free of the matrix of you are as you are, you are as you will be, or anybody being able to tell me what I can and can't do, how I will and won't be, or how my body will be in life. It really set me free. So that's the basics of childhood. I went on to become a professional cyclist after going to college, and that's a whole nother story in itself. But my health went through the roof after being told that it never would.
That's so powerful at such a young age. And must have been very comforting in some ways.
Yeah, the comfort came maybe later on. And in the moment, I've had a joyous personality where you knock me down, I get back up like the old school weebelows that wobble, but they won't fall down. So I was very, very resilient. But I think each thing that's happened through life, I've just grown stronger and stronger. And that doesn't mean that I haven't had the one gift that I got that I'm still working through, and I'll work through for this entire lifetime, is my gas, is the gift of you're a screw up or you'll never be enough. And that's a gift that came from my mom, who would absolutely admit that she feels that way. And I wonder if her mom and her mom's mom felt that way. But there was a feeling that I could never do enough and I could never be enough. And that actually became, while I've done a lot to work on that in recent decades, that did become a very positive fuel with a backlash on the backside. So I had to learn from it. But everything that we think, oh, I can't do this because of that, I'm not good at this, I have this wound, I have this trauma, if we can step back from them, then we realize that they're actually all here to serve us. And so everything I was gifted with in my early years, every single thing, every time that I cried tears or worse, has helped guide me on this path.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for sharing all of that, Michael. I think it was just really important for the listeners to know some of the things you endured or overcame. But I love how you still refer to it as gifts. You were gifted with these things because you wouldn't be where you are today without those experiences.
They're all gifts. They're all perfectly, if we can step back and look at the timeline of our lives, it's all in a sense perfectly ordained, perfectly orchestrated. That doesn't mean that we wish it on ourselves or that we can necessarily go back and say, "I had a near-death experience. Woohoo!" Although I guess we could. But they're all, every single thing is here to serve us for our highest good, for the highest good of all. I look at where I am today, and I'm doing these YouTube live events. I did them this weekend to help people with tapping and group meditations on coronavirus and the fear. Next week, I'm probably going to do 8 or 9 different days in a row of doing this to help bring people up. The reason that I'm able to bring people up during this time is because my skills were honed, my craft was honed by getting knocked down.
Yeah.
You've mentioned, and Carol mentioned in the introduction, that you had 2 near-death experiences. Can you tell our listeners what you experienced during these events and how did they transform your life?
So they transformed my life incredibly profoundly. And if I mentioned, there are two NDEs, and then there was a year after the second NDE that I had my third and final accident. I call it the trifecta. And it was that combination that It's hard to explain. The first one left me. I as far as I know, I didn't go anywhere. I didn't have a tunnel experience or anything like that. It was just a moment of 1 minute I'm whole and on my rollerblades. The next minute I've avoided a baby. I'm down on the ground. I'm completely broken. And I've got this most incredible beaming ear to ear grin. And life is good. Life is great. I'm filled with love. I'm filled with joy. I have so much love for everything and everyone around me. And a huge part of the egoic self left in that moment, just evaporated, eviscerated. April 2nd, 2006 is my second birthday because the new me appeared in this body at that point. I have no other way to describe it. Everything before that is fuzzy, and my priorities and everything shifted in an instant moment. I think they call it Japanese term of satori, instant enlightenment. I'm not claiming to be enlightened or anything, but a moment of massive shift. The second accident is interesting because what I like to tell people is, and I don't know if I can swear on here or not, so I could beep myself. I like to tell people that near-death experiences, integration is a beep. It is one thing to see the world completely differently with childlike eyes, with a profoundly different vantage point on life, but then you still have to chop wood and carry water, which means you are thrown back into many of the old patterns, grooves, or at least habits of life. And it is hard to stay in that blissful state. I had a hospital bed put in my living room for months, which was to me the greatest gift in the world, which tells you how I was doing. But it is hard to maintain that place of bliss and love and peace when you have to pay the bills, when you have to get things done. And I went back, slipped back to a fairly egoic place of doingness before the second accident of, I must do this, I must do this, I must do, go, 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 go. In other words, a fear-based existence again. And that's why I'm convinced out on a book tour gone bad that I should have stopped. I had so many opportunities to stop this thing. RV broken down, electrical system died, RV almost tips over. It's broken into, all electronics are stolen. My foot, it's a barefoot walking tour. My foot is broken.
Oh my gosh.
I get the flu, two car accidents. The list goes on and on and on. When are you going to stop, Michael? And yet I was in such a place of doingness, of I must go. It's one of the most beautiful things about this time period in society is we are being forced, I want to say off of the nipple, off of the bottle of doingness and being dropped dead square on our butts into beingness. And we have no choice. We're being pretty much locked up. And so it's stopping that addiction of the more, that addiction of go, go, go. The stop for me was a big slip and fall through a creek bed while hiking at the end of this tour. I had finally called the tour early, but in trying to get the RV back to the dealership, I had this experience. And that one left me in a creek bed for an hour where they couldn't find a blood pressure on me when the EMTs got there. I did have a mild tunnel experience in that everything started to go black. And I didn't really see this brilliant light in front of me. I did above me. I'm equating that with Lake Tahoe's brilliant sunshine. But I was given a choice of stay, and in this case, stay meant stay in the light, and it'd be a blissful experience, or fight your way back, and it's going to be the most incredibly painful experience. But I had just told my wife, I want kids, and she had been by my side, so I fought my way back, and I did this amazing breathing exercise, which I teach a lot of people now, of breathing in love and light, sending out love, breathe in light, send out love, breathe in light, send out love. The EMTs got there, and I was racked with pain. My body kept going through spasms as waist deep. I was stuck in this creek and they're panicked that I'm going to die on them. But it was another life is good moment. But afterwards, there was still a part of me going back into the doingness out of fear. And that's what we're facing today. This is this crisis, whether it's a coronavirus crisis, which is whether it's a crisis of faith, a crisis of darkness, a crisis of markets, is really being forced to lean into our fear. And it was in the third accident where I was coming back from the last NDE. I was on my bicycle. We were recording. It was the last day of recording. I had taken a break, but it was the last day of recording a mindful running program. We have mindfulrunning.org. And my bike kind of floated into the air in a turn. Former professional cyclist. I still don't understand how it happened. And when I landed, I broke all the bones around my heart, all the bones in front of my heart, behind my heart, up on top, shoulder, clavicle. It was all broken. And I dropped in. I let go. I stopped fighting. I said, I freaking surrender. Yeah. I surrender, universe. I am not going to do. I am going to listen. I came up with a mantra came to me. Kind, gentle, easy, good. May everything come to me. I am listening in the universe. You don't have to hit me with a 2x4. I will listen, kind, gentle, easy, good. I am listening. I'm listening. I'm listening. That was the profound shift. I had held space in a meditation center for years. I was meditating 2, 3, 4 hours a day. dropping in and yep. stuff. But I wasn't listening. That's where I came up with automatic writing, and we may get there, a process where you write and listen to the universe and you get this incredible guidance. Dropping down and listening rather than going into a continuous state of frantic panic and doingness. That changed everything. That allowed me to be what, in fact, I have a book deal I'm signing with a publisher later today. I haven't looked at the emails yet for our next book called The Open-Hearted Warrior. That was dropping shields, leaning into fear. That all came out of this experience and finally surrendering and going, I'm going to stop trying to drive this ship.
Oh, that is so powerful. And I'm thinking back to when you first coached me, and that was one of the big things you imparted to me, the whole thing about you don't always have to be in doing mode. And at the time, I felt really guilty because I wasn't doing, and I was doing all this personal discovery work. And you explained it as you are in butterfly training school. Heck you yeah. are supposed to go to inward and don't worry about the doing. It's more about the being. And that was just a whole new way of thinking for me. And you also touched on automatic writing and your new book, The Automatic Writing Experience, which I believe is on pre-sale now on Amazon. Yes. It's something that you taught me and everyone you coach, but it's something very near and dear to your heart because it changed your life in dramatic ways. So would you talk a little bit about what automatic writing is? I know you touched on it a little, and what you've experienced personally through this practice.
Thank you for asking. And I'd like to say we are all, as we are drawn inward right now, as we are kind of more or less locked up, we are all now getting to go through butterfly training school because we're all going back into the cocoon. Mass consciousness is going into the cocoon. Or I like to say that we're going into the womb at this point yeah. so that we are going to rebirth anew. I call it a pre-CV world and a post-CV world. And we are going through some incredible changes, and I will call them upgrades, as you went through, Carol. Some yeah. amazing changes and upgrades, and came out going, I had no idea I was going to be here now. No clue at all. Automatic writing is a process where you go into prayer. You go into meditation. You quiet your mind. Basically, you get out of your mind and you put on a pen to paper. You start maybe with a basic question like, what do I need to know today? And kind of like a Ouija board, but not as creepy and freaky outy, the pen keeps going. And it says, maybe you are loved, Carol. Everything is good, Carol. Everything is okay. And then it continues from there. You get guidance on where you are in life. You get guidance on where you're going. You can ask any question you want. In my case, it helped me get my head out of my proverbial behind, which was in this doing state. And the show, we're everywhere. Our show is, I don't know how to put it. It's top spiritual and self-help show in the world. Everywhere out there came out of this. We just crossed the 100,000 mark on YouTube, and our top videos have up to 500,000 hits. That came out of it. All of this stuff, all of it came out of a surrender into the writing and say, universe, I don't know best. Where do I go from here? And the pen starts moving. And I go, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. That I really don't want to do, but that makes sense too. And that became my inner GPS. That became my litmus test. That became my guide and direction. Rather than, and I like to use the term small mind, bigger mind, something to that effect, rather than my egoic small mind, fear-based mind driving the ship, I instead go, God, source, universe. I'm an angels guy. You don't have to be. You could call it inner wisdom. But I'm like archangels, or you could say giant cheeseburger in the sky. Mm-hmm. Where do I go from here? What do I do? Or why did I get the smackdown now? And I got answers. And now I've taught it to thousands of people around the world. Every single one of them gets answers too. And it's much better, you know, Einstein put it best. We can never change a problem from the same level of energy from which it was created. Automatic writing gets you out of your small self. You're plugged into the bigger mind. From there, from this higher vantage point, you're able to see your life much more clearly. What's working? What's not? What are the patterns? Where do I go from here? What's in alignment? What makes my heart sing? And it's always about what makes your heart sing. This isn't about writing to a parent who's going to tell you a giant list of to-dos and why you're not getting your act together. It's quite the reverse. This is a loving, kind, gentle voice that we have inside of each one of us. The voice that will help you grab the steering wheel and yank it at the last minute so you don't get hit by the bus. But it's this voice or inner wisdom, this inner knowing, that if we allow it, completely changes or transforms our life into something so much better, more colorful, more technicolor, more HD, more crisp, more clear than we ever could have imagined. It feels so much better. I feel completely and totally in alignment. It doesn't mean that there aren't fears that come up, but I can literally put my fears into automatic writing and say, all right, where is this fear coming from? How can I learn and grow from this? And so it has truly transformed each aspect of my life.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And I love you talk, you've told this story a few times on your show about how you guys even found your house through automatic writing. And it's such a magical place where you've had bears and mountain lions and, you know, deer. And it's just this amazing place that came out of automatic writing.
All of it. Yeah. We were in North Carolina, actually. And even that came out of automatic writing, how we magically manifested a home in North Carolina. But we felt the call back to Colorado. And so we had packed up everything. We had a vehicle rented, and we didn't even know where we were going.
Oh my gosh.
And it magically appeared. It's such a powerful manifestation tool, but we were given clear guidance, kind of like this booming voice from above, but nothing quite that dramatic. Clear guidance. You're meant to go back to Colorado. Here's the valley you're meant to go to. Here's the approximate area to look in. You must open up and surrender to having an exact location and allow something even better to come along. And that is exactly what happened. And I think it was a month and a half or 2 months after first sending my wife, Jessica, out to Colorado to look for a place, because you don't want to drive a moving van to nowhere. we were magically in our dream home and completely scratching our heads. And again, it is such a process of surrender. It's such a process of going to angels or higher power or inner wisdom and saying, all right, there is an answer. There is a plan. Something is already waiting for me. I will step outside of my little mind. Please help me to see what's already probably right in front of my nose.
Love it. Love it.
So you mentioned a moment ago that you are, or Carol mentioned that you're writing a book about open-hearted warriors.
Yes.
And you have a boot camp going on with the same name. What is an open-hearted warrior? And what do you hope that people will get out of this boot camp?
So we've got a series of boot camps. We held the first one a couple weeks ago. We hold our next one in another week, and we have a tapping boot camp in between. And our goal is, an open-hearted warrior is somebody who sees that there's fear, who sees that there are worries and concerns, but can drop and lean into them. And by dropping and lean into them, they start to dissolve, or the bite behind them fades away. And instead, that energy becomes a positive fuel for growth, for change, for plugging in, for living a much greater life. The open-hearted warrior isn't stuck because of their traumas, because of their wounds, because of their past history, because of everything they've been taught or told about themselves or are telling themselves, but instead can lean into all of it. That's why it's called being a warrior, a bringing light and love to the situation and leaning forward into all of it and realizing and finding on the other side of that bridge is a much greater life than they ever have imagined, but that has been being cultivated in them. To talk about divine breadcrumbs, it's about pulling the strings backwards, and you can look and you can see one thing led to the next, led to the next, led to the next. The open hearted warrior starts to recognize this and act upon it. The boot camps themselves are taking you from a place of being in fear, helping you rewire the subconscious, taking you to a place of positivity, putting you in a state where you're able to see the greater picture about your lives, helping you to reinvent each aspect of your lives, helping you to then manifest what you desire in alignment with the universe, and then taking things to a global scale. Those are the six pieces of the open-hearted warrior, and the timing is prophetic. Because right now, at a time when we are locked up or locked in, is the absolute most perfect time to go within. So some magic's been happening to us, and this came out of automatic writing. I was told last weekend to put out a survey to people and ask them, what can I do during this time of great fear, coronavirus? And people said, can you hold a tapping boot camp? Boot camp means it's an intensive. It's either a weekend, two-day thing or a weekday, five-day thing. Can you hold an intensive class on helping us to tap away fear? And what I was getting from the newsletter is, can you hold it yesterday? And so on no notice, we held a YouTube Live on Saturday, which was our most popular YouTube Live ever on tapping. And I channeled, and it was just the best way that I can describe it. I had a sunburn for the next 24 hours from my face being so hot. I've never experienced anything like it. I was doing an upgrade on people's energy. I was whether we call it any of the woo-woo terms, light code, 5D, transmission, whatever we want to call it, something was happening. And that was an amazing event on Saturday. And so at the end of it, Jessica, my wife, she's the producer, she goes, so do you want to hold a class again for people on Sunday? And I'm still in this kind of God space at this point, and which means I couldn't say no. I'm like, okay, sure, why not? And we held it Sunday, and we got 10x the response that we got on Saturday. And so we are going to be holding tapping boot camps coming up as well to help get people out of fear, worry, and anxiety during this time and help them become the light warriors that each of us are. You guys truly are. You're on the mic. You're doing the work. But each one of us has the opportunity to be a light warrior. What is a light warrior? It's kind of open-hearted warrior taken to the next level. What does that mean? It means that in a time of darkness, we recognize the darkness. We feel the darkness. We could lean in, you could say, in a sense, to the darkness. And then we transmute it. We become alchemists and we bring light to it. And we send love and light and we send love and light and we send love and light, not as a kumbaya warm and fuzzy, but we actually link in. Every time I see darkness, I'm going to send love. Every time I send darkness, I'm going to send light. I was at the grocery store yesterday morning, and if you've been to the grocery store recently, people yeah. were freaked out. And they're like, you know, almost crying and melting down in the aisles, but they're going to do it by themselves. Please don't get close to me. I don't want to die. I get through the register. And I pick up my bags and I turn around and there's huge lines behind me and I put my bags down and I turn to everybody and I say as loud as I can, I send love, I send love, I send love. Everybody started cracking up and smiling That's a light warrior right now. We can all do that. Bring light to the darkness. Transmit that energy that makes you feel like you're spinning or going to puke, and turn that into a loving response for all. And we are such a critical balance point, an awesome balance point for humanity. We feel unstable. We feel on edge. We are. But we don't have to fall into darkness. We can actually fall into light and use this as the most incredible positive upgrade of an opportunity. That's what we're teaching at our boot camps, is we're training people how to become light warriors and alchemists to literally transform the darkness into the light.
Oh, I love that. And I was actually on your live stream on Saturday, and it was extremely powerful. So I want to say thank you for all you're doing during these uncertain times and everything you're doing to help mitigate some of the fear. So before we wrap up, though, I just wanted to ask, you know, what's next for you and Inspire Nation?
Next is a very fluid question, Carol, because and Deb, I'm not in charge. And yes, the Pookie, my wife, she's more in charge than I am, but neither of us are in charge. We've got our automatic writing experience book coming out September 8th. You can pre-order that on Amazon. I encourage you to do so. You don't have to pay till you get it or till they ship it. It helps increase our numbers of, it raises its search engine ranking within Amazon. So the more people who pre-order it, the more people who can find it, who can pre-order and then can find it and then can pre-order it. It's a life changer. And it's a consciousness changer, because we're literally plugging into consciousness. So the more people that get their hands on this book, the better. Open-Hearted Warrior, we're probably going to write that, my guess is virtually with my ghostwriter, about 30 days from now is my guess. Maybe it will be a little bit sooner than that. I'm very excited about that. We have 6 boot camps in a row coming up, actually more if you include the tapping camps. Very excited about that. And if you can't tell, I'm supercharged, energized, squirrel on crack, whatever you want to call it, to make a positive difference. Because this is now, this is our time. This is your time, Deb. This is your time, Carol. This is my time. This is every light worker and light warrior's time. This is our time to shine bright. This is our time to bring light to the darkness. It is our time. And so Jessica asked me on Saturday, she said, you're going to do this again Sunday, and you might just keep right on doing this for now. Is this going to drain you? And Saturday night, because I felt all sunburned, I said, well, let's see Sunday. And Sunday, there was this huge wave of peace over me. And I held it again last night, and there was even more peace. And that's what we can all experience right now, is the more that we give away love during this time, which I call the ultimate renewable resource. The more we give away love, kindness, compassion, generosity, the more it's going to come back tenfold. And so I am personally on fire to make a massive difference. If I can, I will be on the mic every single evening until the quarantine is lifted, until people feel better, until all of this has passed, because I want to do everything I can. But I'm not doing it. It's actually nothing to do with me. Sense. It's all to do with me. It's all to do with you. It's all to do with all of us. But I want to encourage everybody who hears my voice to then spread the message out, and then spread the message out. And let's see if we can actually use this time period as a huge positive movement for humanity. They say the virus grows exponentially. Don't know about that. I know the fear has grown exponentially. Why can't we help the love to grow exponentially as well?
Big boohoo to that.
Woohoo!
Well, I think that's actually a beautiful note to end on. Michael, thank you so much for sharing your time with us, your wisdom, your positive energy. This has been such a treat for us, really.
Yes, absolutely. And Michael, where can our listeners find you online?
So they can go to InspireNationShow.com is our main show page. InspireNationUniversity.com is where you'll find all of our upcoming boot camps, Tapping the Works. And if you simply go to YouTube.com/InspireNationShow, you will find all of our free tapping, all of our free live events and classes. You will find almost 1,000 different episodes at this point and more. I'm doing, today is my third interview. I am doing so many incredible interviews right now to help shift consciousness and help shift the planet. Those are the easiest places. iTunes, you can certainly find us. iHeartRadio, you can find us. Unity Church Radio, any place there is a podcast, you can find us. Or simply type Inspire Nation into Google, DuckDuckGo, or whatever you've got going on, and you will find us as well.
Excellent. Well, we will put all of that in the show notes so that people can find you quickly. Thank you so much for joining us. It was such a pleasure to finally meet you, and I'm just so glad we could spend some time with you today.
It so goes both ways. Lastly, I can hear people in the background more or less saying, mention social media. So we've got Facebook, Instagram, even a tiny bit of TikTok. Carol's probably getting me going even more on LinkedIn. Who knows there? So,
yep.
Come join us. Come be a part of the community. Be a part of the movement and be a light warrior. Love you guys so, so much. Thank you so much, Deb and Carol, for having me on your show.
Oh, our pleasure. Thank you so much. And everybody, thank you for listening. As always, you can hear the show on the Divine Breadcrumb, Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. If there's anything else you want to hear, just give us a shout, drop us an email. We love hearing from you. Carol, any last thoughts?
No, just take care, everyone, and love one another.
Yes, absolutely. I second that. Thanks
I'll
for listening. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.